Luke chapter 15. Sunday morning, had several out of town, but everybody else, and for those of you who weren't here, with a few exceptions here and there, a little spot right in there, the church was comfortably full in spite of the people out traveling, and that just because so many had brought family in. And I'm thankful for that. I'm glad they didn't let the family talk them into going to wherever. I'm glad they said, no, you're going to my church with me. That was a blessing. But I left just overwhelmed with the fact of family that are unchurched, will leave their soul in the hands of God. He knows who's, if you're not churched and you say you're saved, I, as your friend, I want to ask you why you're not churched. I need the church. And I believe that long before I was a pastor. There is no price. Ask my family. There is no price for me to put on what it means to be a part of a church. My daddy texted me, you know, and you say, well, he's your daddy. He texted as a church member. He said, what's the latest on Kelly? I told him what little we knew. And, you know, my dad, he's a man of few words. He texted Galatians 6:2 with a sad face. What was he saying? We're bearing it with you. That's all we can do. We're just going to bear it with you. You know, we're going to keep praying for healing. But until then, we're going to bear it with you. You don't get that everywhere. Work people can be nice and cordial and all that. I get it. And I'm thankful for every act of civility and decency. There's something about a church. Okay, I've said it I don't know how many times in the last few months, and I don't know why. You're like, preacher, are you hitting? Is it a left-handed jab at somebody? No, it's not at all. It's just a warning to all of us. I don't go home marking down everything that I found wrong. I ain't got time for that. I love y'all. I need y'all. If I'm sitting in the hospital waiting room or the ICU waiting room, I'm not going to do a checklist and see if you line up on everything. If you want to sit with me, come on. And if you bring in Chick-fil-A, that much better. I'm just telling you, we need each other. We got a whole lot of room to grow in grace. Would everybody say amen? I do, you do, we all do, okay? We all got room to grow, and the worst thing I can imagine is us just being here and loving each other and not growing in grace. That's hippie, if I ever heard it, from the 60s and 70s. We just love each other, okay? No, let's love each other and grow in grace. But I need y'all. I need the church. So all week long, I was like, wow, that many family members and three where all I knew are regular in a Bible-believing church. There may be more. There may be more, not that I knew of. And I was like, they need to be here. They need to be here. And if God don't want them here, they need to be in the best Bible-believing church in Henderson or Buncombe or Transylvania counties. And that's just the truth of the matter. Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. And people who die without Him go to hell. And people who are left when God comes back and gets us, they're left behind and they don't get another chance. That's Bible. Hey, the people down the road that none of us in here know, I'd love to reach them with the gospel. But let me tell you something. You and I both know 98%, I'm pulling that off the top of my head, based on a whole lot of years in church. 98% of the people who come to Jesus come because somebody they knew got a burden for them. Friend, family, co-worker, neighbor. Now, listen, if I'm on my way home, by God's grace, and only by His grace, if I'm on my way home tonight and God says stop and go tell those people about Jesus, by God's grace, I'm going to do it. Okay? But most of the folks are going to be reached by somebody who knows Him. And I thought about this on the way home this afternoon. I thought about this. When we talk to somebody about their soul, that is the most important conversation you'll ever have. Right? And I resent sales tactics when it comes to the gospel. So don't think I'm talking about sales tactics. But here's my point. If you're a life insurance salesman, life insurance is important. If you're a life insurance salesman, they will tell you in your training, you have to connect with these people. With all due respect, whatever that level of respect is to car salesmen, they are trained to connect. Ask my wife what their connection point has been with us for the last 10 years.
What do you do, Mr. Raines?
I'm a pastor. Have we dealt with one in 10 years who doesn't have a very close family member who's a pastor? I ain't believing it.
Oh, my daddy's a pastor. Oh, my grandmother was a pastor.
All I'm saying is you can't sell cars or life insurance. You've probably been trained to do that in HVAC. Connect. If I can't sell you a life insurance policy without a connection, here's my point. Are you really going to listen to me talk about your eternal destiny if we don't have some kind of connection? No. I'm going to repeat myself. If God tells you go talk to somebody, your neighbor, a neighbor that you just don't happen to know, you better go talk to them. I got to tell you this, and I'm not running rabbits because I've been traveling all week. I'm ready to preach. I'm just trying to mind the Lord. Let me tell y'all something. I believe Emily was born. She would have been very little, 2 or 3 at the most, probably 2. 1 January, I get chill bumps now thinking about it. That would have been mid-90s. 1 January, I got up. I don't remember him telling me this the night before. Bitterly cold. Okay? One of those. We got up on a January morning, and the Holy Ghost said, I want you to tell everybody on this road about Jesus. It wasn't one of those things where I'm like, honey, I need to go make sure this is of God. It was like Lester Roloff said, was it audible? Oh, no, friend. It was much louder than that. It was like, if I don't do this, I'm in bad trouble with God. We ate breakfast. Our little neighbor girl who went to church with us, she and her mama, she came over. She went. Caitlin, for all I know, you went with us, okay? We bundled up and we headed out down Edith Drive telling people about Jesus. If the door was open, sometimes we start with an invitation to church and look for an opportunity to tell them about Jesus. God didn't tell me to invite them to church, Matthew. He said, you tell them about my son. And if the door opens, you can invite them to church, but I want you telling them about my son. We did it. We did it. I'm not trying to impress you. I'm just telling you what God told me to do. Within a month, a man on the street was hospitalized with a debilitating stroke. Never was perfectly clear-minded after that. 2 doors down, another neighbor was found dead in his yard. And there was a 3rd crisis that I don't remember the details, so I'm not going to make them up and pretend I do. I'm just going to tell you, in the matter of 4 weeks after God woke me up on a bitterly cold January Saturday morning and said, tell this community about Jesus, several of them had stepped out into eternity or had lost their best opportunity to meet Him. So I want everybody to know that all you're witnessing doesn't have to be with friends, family, co-workers, and neighbors. Most of the people you're going to reach are going to be friends, family, co-workers, and neighbors. Let's look at Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Then drew near unto Him all the publicans and sinners for to hear Him. Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. This is not the message. It's a good introductory point. Please let that be your testimony. Church, hear me. Please let that be your testimony. This man eateth with publicans and sinners. You say, Preacher Ames, what about separation? What about the influence of the world? I've got notes on that I'm not even going to get to tonight because that is important. And let me just insert it here. If you're spiritually that weak, and I'm not saying that to be condescending. If you were spiritually that weak that you can't do what Jesus did because they have more influence on you than you do on them, then don't do it. But in the meantime, be going to the spiritual gym and toughening up. I'm serious. I'd hate for them to go to hell and me stand before God and Him say, I brought you into His life. You say, Brother Ames, do you know how the judgment seat's going to work? No, I don't, and you don't either. So let's just speculate for a minute. Will you let me? I'd hate to get up there and Him say, why didn't you reach so-and-so? Well, he was so worldly, I was afraid he'd have more influence on me than I did on him. I'm afraid Jesus is going to open the Bible and say, greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. Can I be honest with you? I hadn't seen a cotton-picking thing in the world. I won't. I'm not trying to impress you. I worry about Christians that are just constantly tempted, that don't fly well. I worry about it. Yeah, we got a sin nature. I acknowledge that at every service. We got a sin nature. But let me tell you something. I got something greater than my sin nature living inside of me. You say, well, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. I'm not talking about standing. I'm not saying I'm better than anybody. I'm just saying that world's a broken mess. Look at the ones God's let us try to reach in the last couple of years. Is there anything attractive about that? The answer is no. We've had them at our table but years ago and recently. If that was attractive to my children, let me tell you where the problem is. My children. And I gotta protect weak ones. I gotta protect weak ones. I'm going to do that. But I'm telling you, this world is not, that's ugly. That's dark. There's only pleasure in sin for a season. And if they're in their little season and enjoying it, living it up, all I gotta do is look at somebody who's out of season and go, man, that's where that road takes you. How many times have I said it in 8.5 years? Sin makes you stupid. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. That's a dumb life. And if one of y'all go there, I'll love you. You know I will. You know I will. You've seen me do it. But if we get a chance to talk, I'm going to say, you're making some dumb choices. Whew, mercy, this is full. We ain't read a verse yet. He spake this parable unto them. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one... Everybody say, lose one. Verse 8. What woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one? 11. A certain man had 2 sons. The younger said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Young people, look at me. Don't be a fool. Don't you look in the face of that parent or parents that have sacrificed for you and say, give me. If you're old enough to be heading out to the far country, you're old enough to look them in the face and say, what can I do for you? What do you need? You with me, boys? Girls? Don't be a fool. You ask Norma Jean and Larry Keith, and I say that respectfully. You ask them if I ever dishonored them. Tried it once at 14. Didn't end well. Didn't end well. And I decided then that was a bad gamble. So the Bible said honor them. I think I'll just honor them. Ask them. Ask them if we've done anything but honor them in the 35 blessed years of matrimony. Call Gene and Norma in Tennessee. Another Norma Jean. Tennessee. We don't get real adventurous with our names. Here we go, church. Here's lessons on lostness. Please get this. Every soul has value. How many were in the fold in the first parable? 100. How many were lost? 1 out of 100 ain't bad. Don't tell that to the shepherd. Somebody say amen. When you're that 1 out of 10. I might elaborate later, real quick. Girls, listen to this. Those 10 coins, I've been told in Jewish culture that had to do with her wedding. And that was something she was going to wear. And without the one, she wasn't prepared. And then two sons, and one went astray. But here's what I want us to get. 1 out of 100. 1 out of 10. 1 out of 2. And what happened in all 3 episodes? Somebody was very concerned. Now, I know the daddy didn't go looking. We're going to get to that in a minute. But here's what I'm going to say. The loss, church, the loss was just as great. I'd love to see us grow. Not every time a church grows, but sometimes when a church grows, one of the complaints you'll hear is, we used to matter, but now we don't. Maybe the problem's on the part of the one who's saying it. Maybe their world is all about them. Maybe it's time for them to be reaching out. Whole lot of reasons somebody could say that. My point is for tonight, I don't want us to ever not think, if there was 10 times this many here tonight, we ought to still care for 1 out of 100, 1 out of 10, and 1 out of 2. Don't ever think that people are just collateral damage, because they're not. And here's why they're not. They're going to spend eternity in one of two places, heaven or hell. And I don't care if they're 1 out of 100, they go to the same hell that 1 out of 2 goes to. So every soul has value. Number 2, the circumstances do not override the value of the lost one. The circumstances do not override the value of the lost one. 3 very different sets of circumstances. In 3 stories, you're not going to get 3 more differing set of circumstances. The first one, an animal known for its lack of intelligence. If you ever fool yourself, just remember that of all the animals He ever created, of all the animals He created, sheep, we're not elephants. We're honeybees have more sense than sheep. I can tell you amazing stories about the bee kingdom. We're sheep. Okay? So an animal known to be dumb, an inanimate object, that somebody, there's so much preaching in here, Mike. An inanimate object that somebody else lost. She lost it. It didn't get up. And our kids have watched so much animation, they don't know what's real and what's not. Somebody help me. I'm not against fantasy and imagination, but be careful. Let them know there's a difference. So a dumb object, an inanimate object, and then a very willful, deliberate, intentional act. But all 3 were lost. All 3 were loved. All 3 were cared for. Don't worry. I'm not letting the rebel off the hook. I'm getting to him in a minute. All 3 were lost and all 3 were loved. Would you say amen? The circumstances of their lostness may affect us differently. And they will. Jamie thanked God on Sunday for Tammy Landreth's personal interaction in her life. If Jamie walks away and says, y'all the craziest people I've ever met, and that won't be the first time we've been told that, that's going to affect Tammy differently than you. You would care, but you see what I'm saying? It would affect Tammy differently than it would you. For appropriateness, your level of interaction has been different, and rightly so. The lesson, church, is whatever their level of responsibility, whatever your level of interaction, whatever your level of hurt, they're still lost. And that's what we've got to remember. They're lost. Do you know the sadder word? Do you know the scarier word? Listen to this, church. God will allow us to meet lost ones in every area of our life. Business, social, and family. Why do you have 100 sheep? You're running a business. That was his income. The coins. That was the social situation. A son goes to the parent and says, I'm out of here. Give me what's mine. That's very deep, personal, and family. And if we'll be aware, God will let us meet people in all of those areas of life. Business, social, and family. I don't think it's any shock to anybody at this precious church that the family are the hardest. The family lostness hurts the most. Family lostness will kill you. Family lostness strikes deep. Okay? We were at Stony Mountain 2 weeks ago for prayer meeting. Young fella his age said, pray for my mommy and daddy. They'll quit smoking and get in church. The grandparents have told us what it is they're smoking. Y'all with me? So, all of those areas of life, and let me tell you something. My wife and I have discussed this. We said, in a family situation, we said we want to be the best Christians they know. That'll help you get over a bunch of junk. What if they are lost and their only opportunity to see a real Christian is me? That will curb that their hot flash of wanting to get in their face and tell them, read them the riot act. I'm not saying there are people who have let down on their responsibility. They need to man up. Mamas who need to mama up. I'm not saying there are real life hurtful situations that we encounter. But I am telling you, if we'll remember, they may be lost. My daddy used to say it this way. That was before downtowns went into decay. Now there's some of them have come back. But he said, if you're walking downtown, somebody comes this way and y'all kind of run into each other and stuff goes everywhere. He said, you're going to be perturbed and aggravated until you look up and you see a red and white cane. He said, the minute you see that, you're going to go, oh, I'm so sorry. Can I help you get your stuff? He said it changes everything. He said a lot of those people that's running into us and irritating us to death, they might not have a cane, but they're blind. They're lost. Letting them off the hook? No. But if they're blind, they're lost. I want them to see Jesus in me, okay? And then that dovetails with this, and I'm through. Lost ones do have different levels of accountability. I've got more questions, comments, and feedback from Brother Dana Williams' last message of the meeting on the prodigal son. What did he say on that son? That shepherd went looking for that sheep. That woman searched, she ransacked the house looking for that jewel. What'd that daddy do? Here's what the preacher preached on that Tuesday night, and I believe he is right. He kept the light on. He fattened the calf. He kept the clothes cleaned and pressed and in a dry cleaning bag where the moths couldn't get to him. He didn't go to the far country. He didn't. We don't have to mute that. Matthew's precious mom and daddy. Those of you who know them, pure gold. Pure gold. When their hearts were newly broken, a godly man went to him and said, "Don't underestimate the ministry of the hog pen." And he said, "Don't override the ministry of the hog pen." He said, when one of those children end up in a hog pen, he said, "Don't you swoop in and rescue them. If I play the fool, I promise you, I'll either end up in a grave or in a hog pen. I want to. Because if I'm without chastisement, I'm not even his. I don't want him to leave me alone. But if I play the fool, best thing could ever happen to me would be to hit rock bottom. And hit it hard. Let's compare Scripture with Scripture. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth. I hope you rejoice when I come home, not when I hit bottom. When I hit bottom, just say, "Thank you, Lord, for not leaving him alone." But we're not rejoicing. Come on now, somebody help me. Let's be Christians. But boy, that hog pen, you'll do some serious thinking in the hog pen. If somebody you lived in is in a hog pen, thank God. Say, "Lord, speak to them." Every oink, let it say, "You need to be home. I want God to deal with me." I find it very interesting that shepherd went looking for that sheep who we've already discussed was dumb. And we've already discussed that woman went looking for that coin, which was inanimate and didn't have any, it didn't get there on its own. It wasn't getting home on its own. But that one who made a deliberate, willful decision, were they loved? Yes. Were they forgotten? No. No. Preparations were made for the day when he would return. They weren't forgotten. They were loved. But their sin was not condoned. They were not petted. They were not made to feel comfortable in the far country. So church, I'm asking you to help me pray for those we know are lost. For those we know are lost. I'm not trying to impress you. Monday, all day long, I kept thinking about Danielle. She's out of town. Her grandma and grandpa. And that caregiver who, by God's mercy and grace, is very bold for Christ. Her grandparents are in their 90s. She has no assurance. And I texted her Monday and I said, "I'm praying for that caregiver and I'm praying for your grandparents." She said, "Thank you." She said, "Preacher, if I've learned anything, she's bolder than I thought she was. If you post 90 and we don't know you're saved, bring on the bold." And then Tuesday, I got that call from Yvonne. And I just say amen. I should have let Alec preach tonight. I just say amen to him. He said, "I'm bolder to pray for this, this, and this because of that." That's my heart. Let's pray, church. Let's pray. Pray for lost people. Pray for your family. Pray. Here's what touched my daughter's heart years ago at my home church. The missionary preacher said, "Who's going to be in hell that knows you and you know them by their first name?" What was he saying? Friends, family, co-workers, neighbors. I've told you, let's go to the street parties and hand out gospel tracts. Let's take care packages. Let's do all that. You go to a parade and hand out pencils and water bottles and tracts, and I've done it, I'll do it again. When the street people come by with their brooms, you're going to find most of them. Can God use that? He did with her parents. So I'm not saying don't do it. I'm telling you, most of the people we're going to reach is because we know them. They know us. And they know Jesus is real.